How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty, for my soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may have her young, a place near your altar. O Lord Almighty, my King and my God, blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. See that. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, who have set their hearts in pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. They go from strength to strength, till each appears before God in Zion. Hear my prayer, O Lord God Almighty. Listen to me, O God of Jacob, Selah. Look upon our shield, O God. Look with favour on your anointed one. Better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favour and honour. No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. O Lord Almighty, blessed is the man who trusts in you. That was Psalm 84. Okay, let's look at Psalm 84. Psalm 84, the director of music, according to Gittith of the Sons of Korah, a psalm. And the psalm begins by saying how lovely is the house of the Lord. Now, when I prayed before, I said that God does not dwell in temples made by hands. He did then. The psalmist, or rather the psalmists, there are several of them, they are yearning to be either in the tabernacle or the temple, and that is the place where God could be met. And in verses 3 to 4, it talks about sparrows and swallows. Evidently, the sons of Korah are envious of a sparrow and a swallow. Now, actually, I've sometimes been envious of sparrows because they have fairly carefree lives. And every now and again, I think, yeah, I wish I was like them. But that's not the reason for the sons of Korah, their envy or their jealousy. Why are they so fortunate? Because they are nesting and dwelling near the altar. Not everybody, of course, can enter the presence of God in the temple, but nobody would object if a sparrow flies by or a swallow makes a nest there. And he says, they say in verse 4, blessed are those who dwell in your house, they are ever praising you. Now, of course, when a human being visited the tabernacle or the temple, they could not stay there forever. Even a priest would die. I think they are, of course, anticipating the time, even though they will be Old Testament saints, when they are in the very presence of God in heaven, of which the tabernacle or the temple was an earthly picture. The psalm then seems to change. It talks about people being on pilgrimage. And it might well be that this was a psalm sung by the Israelite people as they went on pilgrimage to the feasts or the festivals at Jerusalem. Blessed are those, verse 5, whose strength is in you, who have set their hearts on pilgrimage. They're not pilgrims because they have to. Not pilgrims because it's a lovely tradition. They're pilgrims because they've set their hearts on going to dwell in the presence of God. And yet, look at the route they take. The valley of Baca. That was meant to have been a dry, barren kind of place. So, you know, we have a wonderful destination, have we not? You know, you came tonight and you thought, well, I'm coming to Salem Chapel at Martin Top. It's not a bad destination, but I wouldn't want to spend my heaven here, if I'm perfectly honest. But, of course, we came here tonight not to look at a building, but rather to enjoy the company of God in the presence of each other. And we are pilgrims on a journey, not to earthly Jerusalem, not to a temple or a tabernacle. Indeed, they are gone, but we're on pilgrimage to heaven. And of course, it's one reason why the Christian ought not to fear death and dying. Because when you're dead, it means you've arrived. You've actually got there. And yet, the route of our journey often takes us through difficult places. It's not all delectable mountains. It's not all Emmanuel's grounds. Sometimes we do go through the valley of humiliation. We do go through the valley of tears. We do go through pain and hardship. And these pilgrims, the sons of Korah, they're going through the valley of Baca, this dry place, and yet when they get there, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools or with blessing. And sometimes the Lord allows us to go through dry and barren places. And of course it does our faith good. We learn to trust on Him more when we go through hardship. But look at the environment. It might be in your place of work or in your street, you're the only believer. And you think, this is the valley of Baca. It's a dry and barren place. There's no fellow believer here. There's no Christian truth. But there is. It's you. And you're shining the light of Christ, which wouldn't otherwise be there. You are turning that valley of Baca into a place covered with pools, with the water of life, with Jesus Christ. They go from strength to strength till each appears before God in Zion. The sons of Korah, quite clearly, are seeing more than just an earthly temple or a tabernacle. They know that the whole of life is a pilgrimage. Not just to earthly Zion, but to heavenly Zion. Not just to meet a priest or a high priest, but to meet God Himself. In verse 9, it says, "Look upon our shield, O God. Look with favour on your anointed one." That might be a reference to the king at the time. Doubtless the Spirit, of course, is referring to the Lord Jesus Christ, the ultimate anointed one, the Messiah, the Christ. We are nothing to look at. We are nothing noteworthy. But the Father looks at the Son, and we are found in Him. We have His beauty. And then we have this wonderful, going back to the idea of the temple or the tabernacle from verse 10. "Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere." And I know a number of songs and hymns have taken up that theme. He then makes a similar point in the second part of the verse. "I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked." Now, when I think of a tent, I think of camping on some bleak and barren, windswept moor. And every time I do it, I vow I'll never do it again. But of course, the tents of the wicked here, I imagine, are rather luxurious and comfortable. And they're contrasted with the role of a doorkeeper, which is a humble and a modest occupation. But the sons of Korah are saying, even if in the presence of God I have the lowliest and humblest occupation, I am better off doing that than sipping from goblets of wine and feasting in the tents of the wicked. A tent might then have been luxurious, but it was but temporary, and they would get blown away. Likewise, one day in the courts of the Lord are better than spending 1,000 days anywhere else. Of course, the delicious irony here is that when we go to heaven, we won't just be there for one day. We won't even be there for 1,000 days. We'll be there forever. I find it hard to compute or calculate forever or eternity. It's beyond my mathematical or philosophical or whatever kind of understanding I might have, but we're all going to appear before God in Zion, and we'll never be taken away, we'll never be expelled, we'll never be voted out. He won't change His mind. The Lord God is a sun and shield in verse 11. The Lord bestows favour and honour. No good thing does He withhold from those whose walk is blameless. We have a bountiful and a generous God. Of course, if our walk is blameless, we won't be demanding wicked things from him. He withholds no good. And then the psalm concludes with a lovely verse, warranting, I think, its own half-hour sermon, if time permitted. O Lord Almighty, blessed is the man who trusts in you. How do I know I won't take the wrong path for my pilgrimage? What if when I get to heaven, maybe it won't be as good as people made up? Forget all that. We can trust in our God. He doesn't withhold any good thing from those whose walk is blameless. And those who trust in him are never put to shame. This here tonight is not the tabernacle. It's not the temple. If a sparrow made a nest in the guttering, I don't think we'd be particularly envious of it.
Or a bat.
Or a bat, of which there may be one or two. Because we are heading somewhere better. So I think that the point I'd like to make in closing is, you know, keep trusting the Lord. We might pass through that dry and barren valley, but don't look where you are. Remember where you're going. Don't look back to where you've been, like Lot's wife, but rather look forward to where you're heading. Because we are all each going to appear before God in Zion. Amen. Amen.